well, welcome to a very special edition of the Hot Spurs podcast. Now, this evening we have got a proper Spurs legend. He's been there, he's done it. It is Mr. Steve Sedgley. How are you doing, Steve?
Evening, my name is Tom. Nice to hear from you.
No, it's fantastic having you on. I mean, let's get straight into it then. 91 Cup final, I mean, that's where we got to start, obviously. You know, but fantastic semi-final and then the final, obviously, against Nottingham Forest. We'll get to the semi-final in a second because I've got a few questions about that. But let me just tell you that for the final, my dad said to me, you know, let's make a big thing of it and let's go and stay in a hotel in London and you know, go to the cup final the next day and blah, blah, blah. So it was great and we stayed in this hotel and, you know, lo and behold, we were down having breakfast and who walks in but the you lot, you, the entire Tottenham team. I couldn't believe it. And I have to say that I was 15 years old and I went up to you.
Lancaster,
that's right. Yeah. So I went up to you and I said, you know, any chance of a picture? And of course, you were absolutely fantastic. Took a great big picture, you know, and I've got it, you know, to this day. And so thanks for that.
I'm glad you said that.
No, you were really kind. And of course, I met Gazza as well, who was equally as nice. He was a little bit nervous. I can't understand why, but, you know, so what were your thoughts on that day?
Well, the actual semi-final, well, it's weird because, as I said, I think that was sort of Terry Venables' sort of meeting place at Lancaster, so it was a hotel of his choice and we're familiar with it. I just really remember the morning we woke up. It was obviously the first semi-final we played at Wembley against Arsenal, and it was a 12 o'clock kick-off, so it sort of threw everyone's preparations out. So I remember none of us could really sleep. I think I must have woke up about 6 in the morning because I think we were due to have a pre-match at 8, which was bizarre.
Yeah.
And I remember sticking my head out because normally I had to get up early to see some of the mixture paper. And as I stuck my head out of doors, I remember seeing Billy Sandmay's head, I see all of that. So no one could really sleep. And it was odd going down for that breakfast. But as soon as you got the breakfast out of the way and you got in the coach and you excited to get to Wembley, then you've got a sort of a feel for it. And it was just like nervous energy, you know. It's even to this day, I remember getting off in the tunnel where the coach is got off to start, you know, just like you see on, as a kid, you see in the country arrive and they sort of shut the door behind you.
Yeah.
And it was as vivid as that. So just how you would have watched it as a kid like I would have done.
Yeah.
It was everything but that. I mean, obviously the game was, you know, it was the icing on the cake.
I mean, I remember watching it, and obviously we, you know, the semi-final, we went 2-0 up, and it was, you know, it was brilliant because Arsenal were flying and, you know, we were mid-table and of course we had Gazza and what have you, but, you know, we weren't playing that great, you know, here and there, a few good games through the season and, you know, but everyone thought that Arsenal would win and to be 2-0 up, that was fantastic. But I've got to say, about midway through the second half, I remember turning to my dad and just saying, we're just not putting a foot wrong here. And you in particular, alongside Gary Mabbott, just had the game of your lives. Absolutely didn't get a thing wrong, did you?
I think we, you know, I think as a team we played well. I mean, as I said, going back to getting off the coach that day, I remember Arsenal getting off and seeing the sheer physical side of them and they had an aura about them, you know, rightly so, because they're, you know, the top side. And you look and you think, oh, you know, he's going to have a game. But then obviously you go out and you warm the occasion and you start well and you get a goal ahead and two goals ahead. It's all of a sudden you think, right, you know, could be our day, yeah? I think we deserve to win. We played very well. Obviously they got a goal back that made it a bit nervy, but I thought we were worthy winners on that day. And sort of when it sort of all died down, that was the reality sort of kicked me in the head. It was a massive, massive achievement and a massive win, but we haven't really won anything yet. So we fell back into it all again.
Yeah. And was that like deja vu for the cup final?
Not really. Do you know what I mean? I don't know, it can't be a deja vu. It's a deja vu, not for a cup final, because, you know, you're walking out and it's the whole thing in it again. But winning that game and the celebration after with the fans were just incredible. And I'll always remember it. It was mad. I can't remember how long we felt like I was partying for about a week probably, but yeah, it was well deserved a day, but here I am, 2014, that's such a long while ago now, just
fingers crossed we can get back to that sort of glory, but it's getting tougher now.
I know. I mean, we, as a Spurs fan myself, that's what I sort of relive, you know, those 91 memories. We've had a couple of cup finals since, but, you know, that was obviously the biggest one, certainly in my sort of Spurs watching career. I think you're being a bit modest there, because I'm trying to tell you how well you played, and you're talking about the whole team. I mean, last week, Des Walker told us, you know, for that cup final, with Gazza going off, it kind of lifted the Spurs team, everyone, because you all looked around and said, right, you know, we've got to up it here because we ain't got Gazza no more. I mean, was that the general feeling sort of at half-time? Did Terry Venables say, come on, lads, you know, let's do it for Gazza? Or what was sort of the vibe?
Yeah, you say, you say do it for Gazza, but, you know, when you see your star man go off to an injury and they score for that free kick, you know, you kind of think, Jesus Christ, what's going on here? But somehow you get through it and you make your own luck, and I think on that day again, I think there were some big performances, you know, on there, and Paul Stewart, he was immense on that day. And, you know, it got tight, but for some reason, when we got ahead, I didn't really feel like we were in trouble. I thought we grew as the game went on.
Yeah.
And maybe that's, you know, sometimes your name's on it. I mean, you know, if I'd been for this year, I actually thought with all the hills were disaster on it, I thought, you know what, could be their year this year, but they just come up short at the wrong time, whereas We didn't have to do it over a long time. We did two games of the Arsenal game and the Forest game, and we managed to get it right on them two occasions.
Yeah.
But, you know, you need a bit of luck along the way, and we had a bit of both, I think, you know. During the early rounds, gathered through all the games single handedly, you know, your Portsmouth, Oxford, wasn't it, Notts County. You know, he got us there alone. So it was one of those years, I think. I mean, and to be fair, I think We had quite a decent, I think we had a decent side. We had an honest side, I think, which is, you know, it's counted for a lot of people who cared. A crazy bunch, but, you know, could all sort of look after each other.
Yeah, of course. And, you know, some real good characters and nice guys as well, like Paul Allen and David Howes, of course. You know, you alongside Gary Mabbott. Did someone get injured, so you had to go back and play there? Because you weren't really a centre back, were you?
No, what happened was that year, I mean, I joined a midfield player and I ended up sort of getting moved to the centre half because a young guy Butters, I think he had an injury, and I think because he was young, he had a loss of form or something. That's how I sort of went back there, my first London derby, we beat Arsenal that year, in 89, we beat them 2-1 when they were, the year that, was it no, 1889, I think, when they won the league, we beat them 2-1. And that's my sort of started to form a partnership with Gary Mabbott. So, yeah, we got well together and complemented each other well. I thought it was quite a balanced side, you know.
Yeah, I thought it was
sort of got broken up as teams do, and with Sammy Shuey coming in and things were going on down the board. It was, you know, there was nothing we really sort of knew about. It just happens, you know, and before you know it, sort of teams get broken up, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, I've got a really important question here from a guy called Simon Napper on Twitter. And it's about Gazza, of course, and it's really important. It says, how many times did Gazza cut your pants up?
I don't think it was so much me, because he sort of give up, because I used to give as good as I've got. But, yeah, certainly when your pants, it was either your socks. I remember he used to, Eric Torsen, when he first came in, he used to sort of wear a nice clean pair of socks every day and good be burdensome, but they just used to get replaced by dirty old socks from the rest of the land. So I think it took them a while, but they had a great sense of humour for me, because it must have been tough coming to our sort of barmy times. It was crazy times, really. It was a tough school.
I mean, I must say, everyone I've ever spoken to who knew Gaz or played with him, whatever, has always got something new to say. There's always there's another story. I mean, we had Paul Walsh last year, and he told me a story that I'd never heard before, and it's just, there must be so many, you know, it's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, I think I was with Walsh, but what happens is you talk about times, and a story crops up and you've forgotten about, you know what I mean? There's always a lot. It's no different to you going out with your friends and having a few stories down the pub, but there's always stories to be told, and you seem to forget them over years. And I think that's a good thing about meeting up to each other, and you can relive them memories that way, you know, in a nice way.
Yeah.
Sometimes you've got away a bit, or it happened, you bigger to believe, but, you know, at the time, it's just great fun.
I know. I mean, I think with Gazza in particular, I think he had a real sort of affection for you, didn't he? Because I remember watching sort of DVDs back and or videos really, VHSs back in the day, watching him talking about certain players and doing training videos and talking about you and you know, just funny. I think you had a real connection, didn't you?
Yeah, well, I met him the year before. I met him on another 21 tour when he was at Newcastle, and we sort of hit it off then. And then obviously he went to Tottenham off for him the next year. So, but he got on over there, right? He was a great laughing. I mean, it's just a big kid, really. It's, I think he just wanted to be loved, and at the time he was young and he just loved his football. And when his football got taken away from him, he found it hard to fill that gap, you know, like some people do.
Yeah. We've got the Spurs poet here who you have met in Northern Ireland, Davy Elder. He said, ask Steve when he's coming over to Belfast for that drink. And on a serious note, who was your footballing idol growing up?
I used to watch when I was a kid and his Marcy. But no, I was always still angry much with Graham Roberts because when I was a boy at under 13 level, he'd just come from Weymouth and he'd... And he come to train our team, and it sort of was good to sort of watch him make his day. I think he made his day, did it half a day or something like that. And it was good to have a connection with someone that you actually met, because you don't get to meet your Spurs players when you're younger. It's a bit different then. And he come and trained us, and sort of, oh, Graham, what was, and then he got his debut, and he was always a wholehearted player who, just give his all on that. So, plenty of him in that team, but, I used to watch him as a kid at the old training ground and watch him score from every possible angle there was. It was incredible. And then you go to Graham Roberts, who drew his 40th eye out for a football club that was equally important to the team.
Yeah. Davey also says about, have you had potato bread since he got you at Northern Ireland? Don't know what that's about.
No, unfortunately not. Not yet, no.
We got a guy, Paxton Coates. He said, did Steve ever think about going into management?
Yeah, well, my dad was... non-league manager for years at Cheshunt and Walthamstow, and you play for him from a good level. But I did do some staying. I got sort of put as a coach and went to administration. I took over for a while, but then I went to live abroad with my ex-wife, because they did a moment, didn't they? And she always followed me around. So I sort of lost my chance there, but it was a good time. And then when I've come back from living abroad and went to see the late Dean Richards, who was a friend of mine. I ended up sort of meeting Mike Newell in St Albans. I ended up sort of doing a youth team coaching there, but then he got the sack and he sort of decided to take a different path, because you need friends in the game who's going to give you a chance. And because I was living abroad for him, just had an opportunity never to come up again. I sort of took a different path now.
Yeah.
It is tough, you know what I mean? It's like football is a 24-hour, 7 days a week. You've got to give your life to it. But, how many really jobs are there? There's not loads of jobs about it. And so many footballers are out of work or finishing each year. The competition's great. And it's not that I'm worried about competition. You just got to weigh up your options, really, you know?
Yeah.
It's still my first life. If it come up, I'll still have a good look at it.
Yeah, and you work at Tottenham. Are you at Tottenham this year doing the hospitality and things?
Yeah, I'll be doing a few of it. Yeah, I've got a couple of tickets as well this year, so I'll be going there with a few friends, a few clients. So I do like the Spurs. Yeah.
And have you got any nights coming up? Where you talk with other?
I think I have, but I wouldn't know off by. But yeah, I've got some in October, November, something like that.
Yeah. I haven't been on one of those, but I keep meaning to go over to Northern Ireland or go to one of these. But I haven't done it yet.
They're great nights.
Yeah, no, I'm sure they are. Yeah, and crackers and everything, and getting the crowd.
Yeah, no, they put on a good night, and then either way, you've got to keep it to a. You've got to try and get some strap from it, because we could sit there and talk all night. You know what I mean? And people got pushing them on this and just always. But yeah, they're good nights, and well run, and we'll enjoy too.
We got to try and cheer ourselves up somehow, haven't we? Because last season wasn't exactly brilliant. Carl Woodbridge has got a question here. Does Steve remember having verbals with a young Roy Keane in the 91 Cup final? And what was he like to play against? Yeah,
great player. Great player. He was very fit, wasn't he? Very strong, very competitive. I won the Cup final, I remember it well. It was a bit embarrassing. It wasn't really my fault. It was just in. But I just remember, I think we'd gone 2-1 up, and it'd be easier when you're up on it. And I remember Justin having a sort of a ding dong with Roy Keane, and I sort of come in the back end of it just to back Justin up, but I got caught on camera, as they say. muttering some wrong words. My mum wasn't too well pleased, I know that. So, even though it looked like I was, it wasn't really my fault at the time, but hang on, there's that thing happening, isn't there?
Dearie me, I can't believe it. You're such a clean cut lad, not getting involved in any of that sort of stuff.
I've got to say that now, yeah.
No, brilliant. And also the Spurs poet said about they've got to do next Friday apparently with Ozzy and Mickey, so that should be good. I know you've spoken about your Spurs career and what have you quite a lot, and why you left Fruits, which it was for money and things like that.
I got offered a better deal at the time, yeah. And you know what, I was better advised at the time, and you know.
What year did you leave?
1993, the first year of the Premiership. I left after that year, and you know, and I got offered a contract by Tottenham, but I was badly advised, and I got a better offer at Ipswich with the late John Riley. Was that Tottenham when I got away with him? And you make a decision for your family, but you know, if I had one regret, it would be that one, because I left a club that I'd always loved and dreamed of playing for. And it's probably left half my best year, you know, even though the team didn't have a great year, it was one of my better years, and I played every game, but, you know, you do some silly things at the time, and once I left, I knew no mistake, no disrespect to Ipswich, it was a great club, but, you know, it takes you something, you go away from a great club, and you realise how big it is, and, you know, you don't have to, I shouldn't have gone at that time, you know, I should have gone when I wasn't playing, really, you know.
Yeah.
I went when I played the game, and that sort of, I do have a regret about doing that, but you know, it's life, isn't it? And you're glad to get back in the game.
I mean, you know, the thing is with Spurs these days, you know, we're desperate for success. And of course, you were part of, you know, that 91 Cup final team. You know, we've mentioned some great names. Tell me a little bit about Naeem, because I'm just fascinated by him. I loved him as a player. Slow as coaching horses, apparently. But Gazza used to say he used to get skills off of him. What was he like as a guy?
Yeah. I would think he's right. I mean, he didn't. He was quality. I mean, he did have. He probably had more natural ability than anyone in that football club. Incredible season. He did lack a yard of pace, but you know, so he was still a great player. Never knew, you know, he could score for fun. I think. He had that knack, he was clever, he could kick himself and fall over as well, you know what I mean? He used to get a lot of it, but hugely, hugely talented player, you know, when I remember Terry Denver told you about him when he was coming over, and you know, he was incredible, it's great skill. To actually go and train with Gazza, Vinny Samways, you know, yeah. John Moncur, and Nine, that's, you know, doing your bit before training was mind-blowing, really. I mean, there's enough players in school there to make you look silly, you know, so it was a good school at the time. Very talented players.
And that game where he scored the hat-trick, is he the best known for the hat-trick he scored, the Man City away, or for your celebration when you was running away backwards, chopping your arms? What was all that about?
Yeah. You know what, I've had one against Chelsea when we was talking about it on the coach, and I put my shirt over it, and I just don't remember just remember the lads talking silly things like you do before a game. I did that one.
Yeah.
And I remember running to the lads, and they were sort of sitting with Chelsea, and they got mad at half time because they had to get escorted out, so they thought they was going to get beaten up by the Chelsea fans. So then we ended up losing that one, but the men's team, I don't know where that come from, it must have been so stupid on the coach again, and but I just remember sort of running back and sort of getting a load of abuse, but I don't often score, so I just come back from injury, and I think Justin had played me in and managed to get back in it. But that was a great game. That was a great game.
I remember that. That was a Sunday afternoon. You know, in the old days when you used to have a roast dinner around your mum and dad's and then watch it. That was a great game. Really brilliant. Anyway, we need to get that back at Spurs, don't we? The cup final and the cup games, you know, take those a little bit more seriously. I mean, this is a really difficult question, but how do you see the current side and, you know, what are your hopes for the new season coming up?
Well, I just hope that the new managers maybe, you know, got a little bit of money to spend. You never know who wants to stay, who doesn't want to stay. You know, he's got to get in, but... You know, I'm sure as most new managers come in, they'll give all the players a fresh start. So, you know, they're back at pre-season now. They'll all be wanting to impress. You'll tell them that he wants to. I'll tell the one who doesn't want to go, but the rest of them have got a clean slate. And, you know, he's then got to get his message across, and you know, he's done so well last year at Southampton. You know, I do think he's inspired the players and get us back to playing where we were, because we've got a talented squad. I think we've got to be realistic and realise that, you know, the top four, top five are probably got better squads than us, and yeah, it's so tough. That's what I think. There's not many competitions to win, and the competition is so tough. And you know, the clubs above us, they've never always been slightly big enough. You know, your Man United, your Man City, you can't compete with Chelsea, have been a strength, and Liverpool sort of coming back. And all the teams that were always there are still there. So you know, another year to get where we was, I think we've done fantastic. I just think last year where everyone thought we'd spend a lot of money, it just didn't happen on the pitch now. And losing over the last couple of years, you've lost Modric, you've lost Van der Vaart for goals, and you lost Gareth Bale
and Ledley King, of course,
player. I mean, so you've lost a big heart of a side over a couple of years, and you've lost a lot of goals. And Gareth Bale, you know, he used to pull him out of the bag last year. It's hard for the players, but you know, hopefully they'll come back stronger this year.
I hope so, and you know, for me personally, I'd like to go to Wembley again and win a cup. You know, that for me, this season in particular, it's winning a cup over top four for the season coming up. Anyway, that's what I'd like. You know, I know that you know, I talk to a lot of, you know, the ex Spurs sort of legends, and you know, they're sort of, some of them say they want top four, some of them say they want you know, it's all about top four, some of them say the cups. I mean, you know, you've got a medal, mate. I mean,
I think the cup's a good day out. There's no doubt about that. It's nice to win a cup. Even when Spurs beat Chelsea a couple of years ago, it was a great day out. But I think for financial reasons and to get in the Champions League, it just opens up so many more doors. You get players who want to come, a bit more revenue. You know, that's unfortunate. That's the way the game is. But yeah, I'd have both. That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Oh, it'd be lovely. So where's your cup final shirt and medal?
You know, I think it's in the garage. The medal, I think I've just got back from my ex-wife. It's in it's in a safe, but my shirt's in the garage somewhere. No, it's hanging up, my shirt. I was gonna get a new frame in it, because I give away one to my old country manager in Plymouth City. I always promise him that, because I love you so when I was 87, so I actually give one to him. I've got the other one somewhere, so it's the memories for football. It's not, I don't have to have them on show, you know. It's like you said, I can sit and talk to you about it. It's always in my memory.
That's fantastic. Thanks ever so much.
But anytime you want to talk, text me, yeah? And we'll hook up again.
I will do. Thank you very much. Cheers.
Take care, mate.
Thanks. Bye. Bye.